little hymn, 250, that I hope if you don't know such a hymn, you would get to know it and sing it and again muse upon it. This is based on these Numbers chapter 21, Numbers chapter 21, and verse 7, 16 through 18, where when the Israelites, they journey to a place called Beer, that is the well where Jehovah said to Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them the water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing to it. Sing to this well. The well which the leader sank, which the nobles of the people dug with the scepter and with their staffs. You know that Israel people, well, they were journeying in the wilderness. They were short of water. They were thirsty. And so God did a miracle and prepared a rock. And which rock, you know, that's, you can find that in Exodus chapter 17, is simply the type or the picture of the crucified and of the crucified Christ on the cross. Why? Because Moses was supposed to smite that rock so that the water can come out from this rock, and that happened. But this is a picture of Christ smitten on the cross by God for us, so that the living water, the Spirit, you know, could flow out from him to us, and quench our thirst, and of course, even to regenerate us. You have Christ's side being pierced in John chapter 19 there. But here in this passage in Numbers, you know, chapter 21, this is not the same Christ. This is the indwelling Christ. Now, Christ that was smitten is the historical Christ, right? The Christ who died on the cross. You may say the objective Christ. In this case, the type, this well, is the Christ. It came from the water that we have drank. You know, the Lord says in chapter 4 of John, if you ask me for this living water, if you receive and drink of this living water, this water will become within you like a well, springing up into eternal life. So when the water is outside of us, it is what? It is Christ being smitten, right, to quench our thirst, to meet our need, to dispense life, in to impart life into us. But after we have drunk of that Christ, that water that came into us, that living water, which is Christ himself that came into us, becomes a well, a spring that springs up into eternal life. So we just need to be clear. Here in this picture is the indwelling Christ, and here there's no smiting needed. No smiting that has been done already. What is needed is digging. Very interesting. There needs to be the digging of the well. Even the well is already there. The water is already there. But there is need to be a digging process. And which means or implies that there's some kind of covering, some kind of dirt, some kind of a pile there, some kind of barrier there. That is what? That is in our inner being, heart, our mind, our emotion, and our will, and our conscience, so that the water, the spring of water, the living water, is impeded from its free flow. Firstly, it is the bruised or the pierced side of Christ, where water flowed out and flowed into us when we were saved. Now we're talking about how this water can flow out from us to others around us, right? That the living water is not just for us to drink to quench our personal thirst. God's purpose is that this water that comes into us would find its way out, would spring up, right, and flow out to eternity. And that flowing out includes the flowing out, you know, that the Lord prophesied, that said in John 7, if you drink the water that I will give him, out of his innermost being will flow rivers, many, many different rivers, right, of living water. So that this water would not just remain, this indwelling Christ would not only remain in our spirit, that it will spread, as it were, it will spread into our heart, into different parts of our soul, into our inner being. And I would say even through that, eventually would throw out into our body. And I would say even overflow from us to quench the thirst of others, in which case we become that channel, that spring to do that. So this is the type in this picture here. And it is something so, so marvelous that our brother had a way to expound this passage to help us to experience this picture or this type. And what we have here in Roman numeral 4 is a very, very brief explanation of this experience of digging. Remember, God smote Christ, right? But here we have to dig. In the smiting, Moses used the rod. In this digging, the leaders use their staff. There's something about God's authority involved here, all right, in both the smiting and the digging. Now, let's come to this last point. We need to dig our inward and hidden parts in order to have the flow of the Spirit within our inward parts. I now want to recommend yet another book for you to read that talks about this matter of digging quite much of our inner being, of our inward parts. And that would be the book, The Economy of God. The Economy of God. Messages given by Brother Lee back in 1964. The knowledge of life is something that goes way back to 1952 or that era in given in Taiwan, the messages. These are given in 1964. And again, just my personal testimony, I cannot tell you how much that book, and with Brother Lee's opening the matter up and even his speaking, that helped me to guide me into the experience of this drinking and of this flowing, right, in Numbers 21. I highly recommend that book. There's some chapters there that particularly talks about the digging of the inward parts or the dealing of the inward parts. These are, again, basic things that we need to know and experience. And this digging, I think, very, very fittingly belongs to this whole matter that we're talking about these days, and that is the repentance, our repentance and confession. Actually, this is how we dig.
part by part, shovel by shovel, right? To remove this dirt that is on our heart and covering our heart so that life can flow from our spirit into our heart, into the inward parts of our being. Dear brothers and sisters, this is so basic, so needful in our Christian life. And of course, the end of this is the well springs, the well flows, the water flows. And this is really our ministry of life, our ministry of life in the church. Whether this is gospel preaching, whether this is feeding the believers, whether this is shepherding, whether this is our speaking and prophesying in the meetings, brothers and sisters, we're here to flow the life of God. We're here to be a channel of the living water. And this is so needed, so needed. Don't you aspire to having a clean channel, a clear channel for life to flow? I do. Every day I want to be such a channel of God. A, Christ as the rock has already accomplished his work on the cross, which issued in the water of life flowing into us. I mentioned already, that's the smitten Christ, the smitten rock. But today, Christ, as the well of living water, the indwelling Christ, springing up continuously within us, is something else and has much to do with the present process of digging. Now, smiting is in the hand of God, right? But digging is in our own hands. We have to do the digging ourselves. B, we need to be encouraged to go to the Lord to be dug, because most of us do not have the free flow of living water. Our prayers are not so free. Our testimonies are not so strong. And in many ways, we have been defeated and are not so victorious. If we are all genuine and honest, I think we have to admit to that. In the church life, ourselves, you know, we pray, but our prayers are not so free, not so liberated, not so soaring. It's just always kind of like blanketed, always kind of restricted, always not fully, fully released. Don't you have that feeling? Testimony's not so strong. We may give a prophecy here or say something there, but there's just something of a kind of hindrance there. Something of a kind of frustration there to stop the flow. So there may be a few drips, maybe a few drops, but there's not the sense of this innermost being, rivers of water flowing kind of experience. If this is the case, we need to dig. And in many ways, we have been defeated and not victorious, meaning we are lacking of strength, of the overcoming strength and power to live a victorious life. We're just kind of defeated. I use the word this kind of low-grade depression that we exist in and that the church life is in. There's not the sense that the feeling the church is flying, soaring, winging, and wings of eagle, you know, walk and not faint, run and not be weary. That kind of condition, vitality, of vigor. No, rather just kind of depressed, oppressed, and kind of, we're still here, we're still saying something and doing something, but there's not that release and powerful release of the living waters. Personally and together as a church. But there's a way. The way is the digging. Now, I mentioned that we have to do the digging. Actually, not just we, but we with the Spirit. Recall the verse in Romans 8, that what? By the Spirit, we put to death the practices of the body. The principle is When we're digging, the Spirit is digging with us. We're not digging alone. This is not a self-improvement, self-reformation, self-dealing. No, whatever we do is in cooperation with the Lord. The Spirit must be with us and we with Him in this digging. That's why in this digging, we don't do it with aside from the Lord, apart from the Spirit, we have to do this digging by prayer. But we need to go to the Lord, here it says, not just to dig, but to be dug. We dig, and the Spirit dig. The Spirit honors, and the Spirit follows our digging to dig us. Right? So we both dig, and we're there to be dug. When we spend this kind of time with the Lord. One, we need to, now this is another list. It's not a checklist of any sort, but it is so, so helpful to identify the areas in our inner being that needs to be dug. Number one, we need to dig our conscience. If we would experience a free inward flow of the Spirit, our conscience must be dealt with and purified. The dirt can only be dug away by going to the Lord several times each day. You know, this digging is all the time. A few minutes here, a minute there. There's this kind of constant digging. You know, the conscience is that window between the Spirit and the heart, all right? So your Spirit is here, the center of the three circles. And then the next is the soul, but the heart includes all the faculties of your soul plus one part of your spirit, and that is the conscience. Four parts. And the conscience, therefore, becomes the gateway, becomes the window, yeah, between our spirit, where the Lord is and where life is, and our soul, where we are, our person. And so this gateway, how clean it is, how open it is, or conversely, how choked up it is, how grimy it is, and how dirt-filled it is, determine how much the life can flow, migrate from our spirit into our soul, how much the spirit can spread from our spirit to our soul. The conscience holds the key. And so we all need to deal with our conscience. This is not just a word for our children, you know, follow your conscience. No, this is for us. This is for us. And sometimes just some dirt will just cover a certain part of our conscience. And so life is restricted. The flow of life is restricted. You stand up and you just cannot speak so freely, so much with boldness, because there's something there unclean, something there in your conscience that is defiled. And that needs cleansing, that needs washing, and that needs purification through this kind of a dealing. Don't, brothers, don't you desire that all the time there could be a free flow out of us to others? I do. But we need to take care of our conscience. So we need to dig our conscience, right? Digging means dealing with our conscience through our confession and through our repentance and the forgiveness of the Lord and the cleansing of His blood to wash us again, white as snow. Paul says, his testimony is very simple. Before God and man, I've always maintained a good conscience. Without that conscience, this apostle cannot serve, cannot minister. Even Paul. And even this dealing is an exercise for him. There are a lot of verses here that I don't have time to get into. Wonderful verses. Excuse me, on the on our conscience. All right. I really don't have the time. You must get into these things. Two, we need to dig our heart. Now we have to dig our whole heart. We all know the heart is the gateway to life. Guard your heart above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. If our conscience is the gateway from our spirit to our soul, our heart is the gateway for this life from our soul to our whole being and even to those around us, our heart. And the dealing of the heart is a great matter, and we even have one hymn on the dealing of the heart. In dealings with the Lord as life, we need a proper heart. Maybe someone can find where that hymn is. After dealing with the accusations in our conscience, and there's a lot to this matter, of the proper condemnation from God and the accusation from Satan that we must reject in the dealings with our conscience, we must also dig away the many things condemned by the Lord in our heart. Not many brothers and sisters have a pure heart in seeking only the Lord himself. One of the main things with our heart, which is like flypaper and everything sticks to it, is simply the world. Our heart tends to stray. Our heart tends to veer. Our heart tends to be distracted by things other than God, by idols of all sorts, so that we would lose that purity in our heart, the singleness of our heart towards God. And when we don't have that purity of heart, we don't have a pure heart, we cannot serve the Lord. You know, Paul told Timothy, I serve God from a pure conscience with a pure heart in 2 Timothy. Talk about serving the Lord. That's what our burden is in these talks. We need to deal with this heart so that life can flow. And the water that flows would not be contaminated because our heart has been purified. Of course, this is a matter of constant exercise, and this is a matter that takes time. Three, we need to dig our mind. How about that? Our mind holds much dirt. The heaps of dirt are simply the many thoughts, imaginations, and dreams, which must be dug away before the living water can freely flow. I think we can all admit. And, you know, the more time we spend in this internet and all these things, oh, my goodness, the thoughts, imaginations, the theories that come into our head. You know, today there's all kinds of conspiracy theories floating in the internet universe, and you can easily buy one and take one, okay? And these things start to occupy your mind. That becomes your opinion. That becomes your ism. That becomes your philosophy and dreams and so on. All these things, brothers, we need to dig them away so the living water can flow in a pure way. This is a big one, to dig our mentality, our mind. Number four, we need to dig our will. The will also contains much dirt. There are not many who are absolutely and utterly obedient to the Lord. We need to be more submissive in our will. If the living water is to flow in us, we must be dug. So to be dug in our will simply is to have the matter of our what? Obedience. The matter of our obedience touched. The key thing in our following the Lord, in our serving him, is our obedience. And that is a matter of our will. Problem we have is we have a strong and stubborn will. We are self-willed people. We are, some of us are even headstrong people. With such a strong will that even God cannot direct us or change us. How we need a pliable will, a soft heart, in that regard. Something that can be directed by the Lord, something that is in obedience to him. It says we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling through our obedience. So you see, we need to dig our will. Some of us are so opinionated, so strong, we cannot coordinate with others. People cannot take us or stand us because of our strong insistence on something. So you cannot blend. You cannot work together with others. The Lord needs to, that will surely needs to be dug until we're flexible and pliable, right? Number five, we need to dig our emotion. We're often under the control and bondage of our emotions. Some of us are too emotional. We are led and driven and motivated just by our emotions. And if we are like that, we are just a soulish man. And the Lord cannot even use our emotions at the right time, in the right way, for his purpose, because we are consumed with our own feelings, our own emotions. So that needs to be touched. That needs to be dug. Some of you sisters, you have to pray, Lord, touch my emotions. That emotion is still mine and not yours. It is still the faculty for my own use to express my feelings, but not yours. We need more sisters, more saints, whose feelings and emotions are available to the Lord to express his feelings for this and that. So that needs to be dug. I won't say that much. You can read the book and receive more help. Now we come to see, the more you dig away the dirt, the more you will be alive. I like this. You'll be living. You'll be vital. The more the dirt is removed. When the living water flows freely within us, then there's victory, and all the problems will be solved spontaneously and even unconsciously. You know, today, brothers and sisters, a lot of our problems are actually problems of this kind. They are inward problems. They are not just problems. They are these inward problems of unconfessed, undealt with. Things, including, of course, sins and wrongdoings and transgression and all of this, but also of our being, our inward faculties and parts that have not been touched, that have not been dug, that have never been dealt with. And so we can be a Christian decade after decade, year after year, of not much use to the Lord. Not much life comes out of us. And there's a reason, and this is the reason. May we submit ourselves to the digging hand of the Spirit. Maybe cooperate with the Lord, right? There's actually another hymn here. Okay, D, the digging is accomplished only by prayer. We have to spend more and more time with the Lord to pray according to his inner leading. We come back to the beginning. We're not here to introspect, to self-analyze. We're here to touch him, the light. We're here to just spend time, more and more time with the Lord, to pray according to the direction of his light, his inner leading. And according to that leading, we must confess and dig away all the dirt within us. So this digging is really our repentance and confession, the acknowledgement of our situation and receiving the Lord's forgiveness and even in this case, not even just cleansing, but even a kind of removing of these things through this kind of exercise. All right. I think that I will stop here. Maybe this would give a little time, a few minutes for some sharing or questions even, if you have. But I stop my speaking here. Amen.
You see, brothers and sisters, again, the key is in the practice. And start small, you know, the point, Brother Lee says, start in where you're standing. Start with the light that you have received. And if you cannot spend an hour, start with 15 minutes, right? And then that will lead you to 30 minutes. That may lead you to an hour, all right? None of these things are a formula. None of these things are just some kind of check the box. All these are the results of us touching the living one. And he, the only one who knows our case, our real situation, will be there to guide, to shine, to lead, to hear, to forgive, to cleanse, and to deal with these things. I pray the churches in Northern California, even through these kind of practices by all of us, will really enter into a new stage of genuine vitality, right? That would be for the Lord's testimony. Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord for such a word this morning again. So as our brother mentioned, we do have a few minutes, but perhaps we're not prepared to do sharing in an effective way. It takes some preparation with all of these people on Zoom. So perhaps we could spend about 3 minutes actually just for some prayer. To just respond where we are muted on prayer, and we'll look to the Lord for the next session how we could facilitate some sharing or some questions for our brother. Sorry, saints, we want to be able to make sure that it's well run. So perhaps if we could do that this way, let's spend about 3 minutes just where you are, respond with some prayer, and we'll have some final announcements and we can go. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, allow me to just give some final announcements before we go here. I'd like to bring out and remind you some of the points that our brother Minoru brought out today to add on, addition, and incorporate into our practice. So first, our brother encouraged us to use Psalm 51 in our personal time to muse on. Number two, he asked us to get into the book, The Knowledge of Life. Is an excellent book. I'm in particular, chapter 14 on light and life is a particular chapter we can get into. And again, our brother encouraged, as he did, to spend a longer time with the Lord. And praise the Lord, some of us are doing this, and we would like to just encourage you to continue to practice this. How much is a longer time? It's just a longer time. Praise the Lord. Our brother also mentioned the book, The Economy of God, for us to get into. In particular, chapter 10 of that book is on the digging of the inward and hidden parts. And we'd also like to encourage you all, if you have not yet, to get a hard copy of the outline from your leading brothers. The outlines have been very helpful to provide a handle for you to practice in your personal time. So we do encourage, if you have not yet, to get a hard copy from your leading brothers. Finally, as a reminder, the recording of this will be online, usually in within 24 hours on the norcalchurches.org website. And our next Saturday session will be November 13th. So amen. So we do thank and praise the Lord again for continuing to speak with us and calling us to be with him. So amen. May the Lord be with us over these next few weeks. before we gather again. Praise the Lord.